Mishnah mentions in the our perek the fact that a Nesina has a knas. The question is, who are the Nesinim? Rashi writes in the Mishnah that David gazer aleihem, but the other Rishonim disagree. So basically, you should be aware at the outset that there's one basic problem that exists in the various sugyos in terms of the question of the Nesina. There's a stira, there's a contradiction between different sugyos in terms of what's mashma, whether Nesina is an issa d'oraisa and issa d'rabbanan. The sugya here, our Mishnah itself has no mashmoyos. It doesn't matter. Nesina can be psul d'oraisa or d'rabbanan because mamzer is listed there, and mamzeris still has a knas. So Nesina could be an issa d'oraisa and would still get a knas. The fact that she gets a knas doesn't in any way imply that the issa is only d'rabbanan. But the Gemara on Chavtas Amid Beis observes in passing that mamzeris and Nesina would be Ika Beinayu, the Mamzeres and Nesina would be Doraisa, but the Kiddushin would be Tofsin. So based upon two Lashonos or two Machlokas we're going to see on Amid Beis, the Gemara suggests that it sounds like, just in suggesting Afkamina, that Nesina has the same thing in Mamzeres, they're both Doraisa. The Mishnah Malkos also states that that you get Malkos on Mamzeres and Nesina. So the simple reading again is that Nesina is the Raisa. There's another Gemara like that in talking about where there's Ksuba for Shnios and other Psulos and so on, where the same thing is said, that the Mamzeres and Nesina that's the Raisa would have the following din. And finally, Rava's Lishna Basra and Ayin Vavamad Aleph and Yuvamos, his Lishna Kama said otherwise. The Lishna Basra said that the Isser of Losis Chatein Pum applies Bigerusan of the Shiva Amamim, and therefore it would seem that the Nesinim would be in Issa D'oraisa after they convert, as opposed to the Lishna Kama of Rava, which said that the Isser of Shatimam is only Bigerusan, in which case once they convert, since they're not Amam of Edom and Mitzrayim, so therefore they're not specifically disqualified, they would be like regular Gerim D'oraisa. On the other side, you have the Lishna Kama of Rava, which at least in that sugya is rejected. But the Lishna Kama of Rava, which says that Losis Chateimam is Bigi Yusan, which would make clear again, as I just said, that the Isser Nesinim is the Rabbanon. And then that, even though the sugya there rejects it, the Gemara in Kiddushin at the end of the third parak, Daf Samach Zayinam and Beis, Samach Chesam and Beis, quotes the Makor that Kiddushin aren't tosen by a goy from Losis Chateimam. And if that's the case, Losis Chateimam is talking about Bigiyus and not Bigerusim like the Lishna Kama Rava. So even though Rava himself rejected it, so the Gemara there seems to accept the Lishna Kama Rava. The Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches, the Sugya there, the Mishnah talks about the Psul of Nesinim. It says, Mamzerim Nesinim are Asurim v'Isurin Isur Olam. It's talking about Yochsin. And the Gemara then, after having a little discussion, moves on to say, David Gazar Nesinim, David Gazar Leim. He gives the reason, because they were cruel. They didn't act like Jewish people are supposed to behave. So the Pashtus in the Gemara, David Gazar Leim, what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah says, Mamzer Nesinim Asurim v'Isurin Isur Olam. Mamzer, the Pasuk in the Torah, Nesinim, David Gazar Leim. David was the one who asked them. In the Torah, they're Ksherim Lava Bakal, but David decided that Lo Mimbe Yisrael Heima, they don't belong being part of the Jewish people because they don't act the way Jews are supposed to act. And that would strongly suggest that that the Isser Nesina is in fact an Isser Drabbanon. There's extensive discussion if it is in Tosus, particularly that maybe it's on the basis of declaring them to be Avadim, even though they're not really Avadim. Although there was one Lashon in Tosus that at least entertained the possibility if they're really Avadim, then they're Asurim Lavo, they can't even marry, Gerim and things like that. They can't marry even some of the Psule call because there is no he didn't say it that way, but they would say that if they were Mamish Avadim, they would have no Knas, they would have all the Dinim of Avadim. Satosis ultimately doesn't really accept that. Both in Ksubas and Yavama says that even if they're Avadim and that makes them Asr Lava Bakal, it's a Psul Rabbanan, and they're not really Avadim. As the Ramban explains, one is that in order to have someone really an Eved, you need to have a Kinyan Aguf. And once someone is Jewish in the full sense, you cannot get a kinyan aguf on them. You can get a kinyan masi adayim, and they can be servants to someone and be bound certainly to a guy, but you cannot get a kinyan aguf once someone is Yisrael ben Chorin. So the Gemara, the simple reading of the Gemara would suggest that Nisinim was a gzera of David. And then the Gemara goes on to ask the question, what about Yoshua? Moshe gazar leim, Yoshua gazar leim. You have to explain, that part of the Gemara sounds a little more like Avadim. And the last part of the Gemara asked, and Bimei Rebbe Bikshu Lahatir Nisinim, and the response was, even if you want to be Matir your Chelik, you can't be Matir Chelik HaMizbeach. There seems to be an element of Avdus there. So how you read that continuation was the discussion in the Rishonim. But the bottom line is that the primary thrust of the Sugya appears to hold that the Gzera, the Isser Nisinim Bakahal, is a Gzera that was made permanent by David. Moshe made it for his Dar, Yoshua made it for when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, and David made it as an Isser Olam. There's also Yerushalmi, the Pashtus in Yerushalmi states that Yeshua was merachik them as psulei kahal, not as avdus, and it sounds like Yeshua was merachik them and he made them psulei kahal, and therefore it's in the sinim are really mutar min haTorah, are only aser because of a gzeir that started with Yeshua and ultimately concluded with David. So the question is how to balance these two particular sugyos, one that suggests it's the raisa and shiva the raisa, and one that suggests it's the rabbanon. So the Rashi. Rashi assumes it's a machlokas, and it is certainly machlok lishna kama rav lishna basra rava. And Rashi, most places, maybe not the Mishnah Mako, seems to assume that nesinim are in iser drabanon. And our Mishnah certainly says David gazar alehim, and he's talking about chasnus. The Rambam also paskins that way. The Rambam paskins that iser nesina is an iser olamis, but and the gzer is laulam even bisman shei based on mikdash, but the iser is only us. It's only an iser drabanon. You wouldn't get malchus the raisa for it. That's shita number one. That's Rashi and the Rambam shita. Shita number two is that of Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam assumes that we reject the Gemara in we reject the Lishna Kama of Rava. And Rabbeinu Tam is there forced to say several things. Number one, to explain the sugi and kiddushin at the end of the third parak that quotes Los Ischatim as the fact that kiddushin and tosim by guy. So Rabbeinu Tam says the raya of the Gemara was from the second half of the pasuk es bitchalos itenunovi telos ikachav necha, not from the first half. As regards to the Yushalmi, Rabbeinu Tam is going to be forced to say the Yushalmi holds like the Lishna Kamarama, but we paskin like the Bavli against the Yushalmi. And with regards to perhaps the most compelling argument, the sugi and ayin chasam and beis, Rabbeinu Tam is forced to a little bit to stand on his head and to reread the sugya, then when it says David gazar aleim, it means David gazar aleim avdus, but psulei kahal, they weren't in the first place, no question about that. It's a little dachuk, but that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. A compromise position between those two was adopted by the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva, and they say that the Isser Nesina is much like the Isser Edomi and Mitzri, with one just minus one. They say that the Dor Rishon that converts is an Isser Daraisa, that's Lesis Schatinbam, and after that it's only an Isser Darabana. That would solve pretty much all the problems in principle, in theory at least, with the one exception, which I don't think the Ramban addresses, which is Lesis Schatinbam. The pasuk in the Gemara in the third parak Kiddushin quotes Los Ischatenbam as being the makor for a Kiddushin anatosim by a goy. That really sounds like the Lishna Kama of Rava. He might have to give Rabbeinu Tam's answer. And I don't remember if the Ramban answered the Yushalmi either, but the Yushalmi you can answer, it doesn't spell the Yushalmi, you can answer by stating that when we say Yeshua Richakon, it means the first generation was Asa Midaraisa, and then Yeshua was Merachik, subsequent generations is Anissa Rabbanon. That's the third Shita. And finally, the fourth Shita is the really wonderfully innovative idea of Chachmei Provence that we saw both in the Raivin and the Meiri, that Nesinim can be both an Issa Daraisa and Issa Darabanan, that the original conversion done by the Nesinim, they were treated as Gerei Arayos because they converted out of fear. It wasn't a sincere conversion, and it is a conversion. We do paskin that the Geras counts, but there are Surin Lavo Bakahal. They are Asul Abba Kaval, that is Los Ischatemam, unless they do another Geirus. If they do a second Geirus, which is a Geirus Shlema, so then they're allowed to marry into the Kahal. But the Gzeira of David was that even after the second Geirus, even though now in Torah they're Mutar Lava Bakahal, they are still Asa Midrabban Lava Bakahal. And now the benefit of this last Shita, it still, by the way, doesn't deal with the Pasuk quoted at the end of the third Perkin Gedushin that says Los Ischatemam. It applies to Bigi Yusan. So again, the Ravid might be forced to resort to Rabbeinu Tam's answer. However, it does have one additional benefit against the Ramban. According to the Ramban Shita, if the first generation is the Raisa, but all subsequent generations are the Rabbanon, so then the question is, why does all the Mishnayos that talk about Kutim, about Nesinim, you have to say, are talking about Nesinim, those that are Mashmid, the Raisa, are talking about only in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, which seems to be highly unlikely, because by the time of the Mishnah, there was no such thing as a Nasir or Nesina, Darisha. Why would the Mishnah say, Elohein Halokin, if after all, Chazal would never have seen Nasir, and it was impossible that he would get real Malkus? The advantage of the Ravid Shita is that that status, where a Nasin is Asim Midaraisa, potentially continues the Dore Doros, unless an individual Nasin decides actually to convert. So in that stage, the Mishnah, in the time of the Mishnah, there were two kinds of Nasinim in theory. There were the Nasinim who had converted only once, and this, or ancestors had converted only once, and the Nasinim who converted twice. So the Mishnah, when it says it's an Isidaraisa, when you get Malkus for it, it's talking about a Nasin, and probably most of them, I would guess, who didn't do a second conversion. And those Gemaras who assume that in principle that the Isser and Nasin is only the Rabbanon means a Nasin who converted subsequently. That way, that would solve pretty much all the problems. So those are the basic shitos of a Nasin, and the bottom line is whether or not with any of the shitos you hold of, the Mishnah, our Mishnah, our Perek states that in Bala Nasina, Yesh Laknas. Okay. Back to, I think that covered, finish everything? Okay, back to, and just stay on my case. Do not let me get away with it. Every couple of weeks it means, or even at the end of a sugya particularly, force me to do that.
We have a couple of sugyas that we've done so far.
What is the peanut gallery here? You remember the Muppets? Remember the Muppets? You're like one of those guys in the, you know, in the back there. Okay. You're one of the elders of the Shirin, so you know. Okay, whatever. Fine. All right. So let's go back to our discussion of Kutim. We're up to the Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara Kedushin is a very difficult Gemara. I had a chance this morning to look over the other Rishonim on the Gemara, and Zach and Maki to read the code. So I'm not going to... I want to bring up one crucial issue, which is not actually found... it's not found in Rashi. It's alluded to in Tosos. But I think it's a very important point in terms of understanding the sugya. I have mentioned this shita before. There is a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosei in the Tosefta, and it's discussed a number of times in the fourth parak of Kiddushin, in the Bavli at least, as to whether or not a ger is muta and a meshuchra is muta b'mamzeres or not. In other words, giores, the only issue of gerim is to marry into the kuna, meaning a gioris marry a kohen, in that direction. But a ger can marry a kohenes, a levia, a yisraelis, a chalala, a gioris, a meshachreris. The question is, can a ger go further down the list of yuchsin? Can a ger marry a nesina, a mamzeres, a shtuki, and an asufi? So we usually assume, I think most Rishonim like to assume, Tosa certainly did, and we paskin that way. We paskin like Rabbi Yosei, as a general piece of knowledge, hopefully I won't say it again this year. There's Rabbi Akiva had four major talmidim, he had five, but four of them are the most common tanaim found in the Mishnah outside of maybe Rabbi Akiva, and maybe Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. And those four talmidim were Rabbi Meir. The most common Tana found in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is found less commonly, Rabbi Yehuda, only because Rabbi Meir is assumed to be, in most cases, not all cases, the stam. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, by the way, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Rabbi Meir, I don't think we know his father's name. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Rabbi Shimon, stam is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Yosei, whose father was Chalafta. When Rabbi Yosei says Abba Chalafta, it's not like Abba Shol. Abba Chalafta means, what is the word, for those who've been with me, what does the word Abba mean, Denikov? What does the word Abba mean, Adin?
My father.
It means literally the father, the Aleph at the end of the Aramaic, it's Aramaic. At the end of the word is like the hey at the beginning of Hebrew, not in Babli Aramaic, but in other dialects of Aramaic. And Abba means the father, and when you say the father, Ima is the same thing, you say the father, I know we wouldn't say that in English, but when you say the father, Hillel, you mean my father. So that's how Abba comes to mean. That's when Rabbi Yossi says Abba Chalafta, he means my father Chalafta. So those are the four big Tanaim. In terms of the hierarchy of Psach, the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem, Vav Mem, Zayin, Mebeis, states that Rabbi Yossi is the only Tana we say that Halachak Rabbi Yossi Vafilu Keneged Chave Rav. In other words, Afilu Mechave Rav, Rabbi Akiva and Rebbe, Halachak Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva Mechave Rav, Velo Mechave Rav, not against the plurality, it'd be one-on-one. And Halachak Rabbi Yossi Afilu Mechave Rav, because Rabbi Yossi was Nimuko Imo. His reasoning, his logic was always so cogent. So Rabbi Yossi is the top of the pecking order. Rabbi Meir is the bottom of the pecking order, because Rabbi Meir was so brilliant that he could say, he had a Talmud, Sumchus, who could say 49 Svaras Latame or 49 Svaras Latahir, and they never knew when Rabbi Meir was right or not, because he could, as Rabbi Shechter always likes to say, he was so brilliant that he could say Svaras that nobody knew when he was correct or not, so they never paskin like him. That Gemara is, by the way, an early name, that's Tafiud Gimel and Beis, actually, about Rabbi Meir. And then in between, Rabbi Yehuda is number two in the pecking order, and Rabbi Shimon is number three. These are not absolute ironclad rules of psak, but they are a general rule of psak when the Rishonim are being machriya and looking for things. That's the order of these tanoim. So you would expect a paskin like Rabbi Yose. One other note in reference to this, and you'll see why I comment on this later. Who are the virtually all the tanoim found in the Mishnah are students of Rabbi Akiva. Meaning much our Mishnah basically is Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. There is another school in the Tanaim, which would be Rabbi Yishmael. You probably do not know any of, or you know very few of Rabbi Yishmael's Talmidim, because none of them, pretty much, are mentioned anywhere in the Mishnah. You will find them occasionally in the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi. You will find them more frequently in the Midrashei Halacha. Amongst the Talmidim, and I know offhand, I don't know too many, are Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan, who you will never see in the Mishnah, but you will find Machlokas in the Gemara in many different places in Shas. They were Talmidim of Rabbi Yishmael's school. Now, I'm not telling you this just stam, so that you can have, I mean, you should know this. This is something very basic. In fact, Shlain, if you remind me, I'll send out Rav Yoel Ben Nun's thing from the defunct, from the Kibbutz Ein Hadati, Kibbutz Adati Ein Surim, no longer, Olav HaShalom, but they put out a pamphlet, so I don't know if you even sent it out last year, but it has all the Tanaim and Amoraim, and which generation they belong to, so that's a very useful, you probably have it, but it's a useful thing to have. But there's a reason why I mentioned this context, and we'll come to it in a few minutes. Okay, so the Gemara was struggling with how to explain Rabbi Elazar Shita that Akuti lo Yisakutis. Why not? So the Gemara's first stab at it was to suggest that Rabbi Elazar holds like a combination of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. He holds like Rabbi Yishmael that Kutim are Gebre Arayos, and he holds like Rabbi Akiva that, some of you saw it, that what? No, you can't hold like both. Which aspect does he hold like Rabbi Akiva? You may not have seen this because it's in the that Eved Va'akum Haba Abbas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. So let me chazer this with you for a moment. We've stated this before, but it's a crucial, crucial point. Halacha Lamasa, thank God. Ev Agoy Haba Abbas Yisrael. The Vlad is a kosher Jew. Maybe the daughter can't marry a Kohen. It's a machlokas harishonim. There are three shitos. But the children are ksherim. Not only that, but even if the woman was an ashes ish, the children are ksherim, not mamzerim. I know, that's my tongue-in-cheek line, that if an ashes Israel is going to have an affair and have a child, better to do it with a guy so the child won't be a mamzer. Okay, fine. And for those of you who know Rabbi Tam Sheet at the beginning of the Masechta, we don't really hold that way, who claims that B.S. Nachri could B.S. Behema, then she might not even be a Sur Labaila. It's a difficult Sheet, but that's Rabbi Tam Sheet. It's a very difficult Sheet. Tosfos, I think, on Gimel Beis, a whole war in the Rishonim about this issue. Okay, I'm not advising, don't get me wrong, that Isha should have an affair. It violates one of the Ten Commandments. Okay, however, just in the aftermath, the results are more disastrous than when it was with a Jewish man. That's Lamaisa. However, when you go back to the Gemara starts out with the following discussion. The initial discussion is whether Eved Va'akum Habobas Yisrael HaVlad Mamzer or Vlad Kosher. Why would the Vlad be a Mamzer? But not all Yisurim create Mamzeris. But what is it about the nature of the Yisur with the guy? It's not even clear. Better, what's the Yisur with the guy? What's the Yisur of Abbas Yisrael having a fling with a guy? It seems to be Gzeiras Hillel v'Shammai or something like that, right? That's what the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says. If it's not Derech Asnos, and he's not one of the Shiva Amamim, just to keep it simple, probably may not matter. So it might only be an Issa D'Rabbanon. So why would it's a child mamzer, yeah?
Now even Ezra, I thought Ezra was like really unhappy about it.
That was marriage, intermarriage.
Oh, okay, fine.
That was intermarriage.
The Kadesha is not the same way Kadesh is the Issa for.
No, I mean, Eved, one. No, the Gemara does not. They say it for an Eved. They do not say that for a Goy. Yeah. Anybody? Anybody want to suggest? Why would the guys? I said this already. Why would the Vlad be a mamzer? Tosfos actually works through this logic on this amud. I think in Kiddushim on Ein Hamad base. I know I asked you to look at Tosfos, but I've told you the reason why. Is that guy?
Was only times that's not going to be whatever. The times that's going to be a mamzer is where there's no Kiddushim.
Thank you. Tosfos. No tvisas Kiddushim. Right. A guy walks up to a woman and says Harat Mekudeshesli and gives her a nice six. Well, gives her a 24-carat gold ring. She's not Mekudeshes. Why? Because there's no Kiddushin for a guy. So if Kiddushin aren't Tosin, even if there's no love in the Bia, Tosus points out, on Ein Hamad base, so Tvisas Kiddushin and Mamzeres are usually linked. Right? The Vlad is a Mamzer. What does the other Shita that the Vlad is a Kosher hold? So the original Shita, and there's one day in the Gemara like this, is a radical Shita, only radical to you because you never knew it existed, is the Vlad is a Kosher. You know why? Because the child's not Jewish. One Shita holds that you all assume that we follow matrilineal descent. But there is that Shita in the Gemara. Tosus mentions this here on Ein Hamad Beis, the first Tosus, mentions that Shita, and it's not Tosus, it's clear from the Gemara in Yevamos. Havlad Kosher is because the child's not Jewish. There's no Mamzeris by a Goy, and therefore when the Goy, if he converts, he's a Yisrael Kosher, he's a Ger Kosher. Doesn't have the taint of Mamzeris. So there's a Shita in the Gemara that in order for a child to be Jewish, both parents must be Jewish. There is a third Shita that Akum, Eved Va'akum, Habal Bas Yisrael, Havlad Kosher, and is Jewish. Now, of course, the Kasha on that is, why is the Vlad a Kosher? If after all, like our points out, there's no Tvisas Kiddushin. So that, I said this in Shir already, some point in the last couple of weeks, or only time in Shir, I said that the Gemara comments that the only time Tvisas Kiddushin is an indicator for Mamzeris, or the lack of Tvisas Kiddushin, is when? When Kiddushin is Tofes with that person with someone else. But in the case of a Goyer and Eved, where they never have Tvisas Kiddushin with anyone, then the absence of Tvisas Kiddushin in itself is not an indicator of Mamzeris. Those are the three Shittos. Yeah, Daniel?
So then, aren't we dealing with the case where a Goy sleeps with a Jewish Bas Yisrael, which would mean that then the Vlad shouldn't be a Mamzer because he's...
So that's a machlokas whether the Vlad is a mamzer or not. We would paskin not, but Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara suggests paskins that the Vlad, in fact, is a psul, is a mamzer. Right? No, we agree. We wouldn't paskin that way, but the Gemara doesn't assume that way. Lamaskana and Yivamos. But they're saying that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Ishmael that they're goyim, that they're gerei arayos. Number one, and number two, he holds like Rabbi Akiva that Eved va'achim bas Yisrael have Vlad mamzer. Now, if you adopt that approach. If you adopt that approach, why is a Kuti not allowed to marry a Kutis? The Gemara, why does the Gemara, for those of you who did the Gemara, why does the Gemara reject that approach? It rejects it only on what I'll call literally nomenclature grounds, is that Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva in this matter. There's Rabbi Elazar holds that Eved Vachum Baal Bas Yisrael Vlad is kosher. It might be pogum, but it's kosher. So you can't say that's what Elazar was thinking. So the Gemara has to go down a different route. But in terms of methodologically or conceptually, assuming that we're correct, Rabbi Elazar would say, Akuti lo yusa kutis. Why not? Yeah. Right, in other words, if in fact Rabbi Elazar did hold like Rabbi Yishmael with respect to Gerei Arayos, and he did hold like Rabbi Akiva with respect to Eved Va'achim al-Baal Bas Yisrael, so why would he say, why would he say that the Kuti can't marry a kutis? Yes, Yitzi?
You have a suffix by each individual that they're a goy or a Jew, and therefore each time, according to Rabbi, if you hold a Rabbi Akiva, it could theoretically lead to a mamzer.
You like missed the obvious. Forget it could lead to a mamzer. If it's a goy and a Jew, it's aser. What if... Right, now... If that were the only issue, that in other words, suffix goyim, that shouldn't be a problem at all, because then just do a conversion. And the Gemara, so obviously it means we're afraid because they're Goyim, but Jews intermingled with them, that some of the offspring might be Goyim and some of the offspring might be Mamzerim. Now, why not? So now, there is a solution to that problem as well, which is convert. And then what are you dealing with? Safek and Ger? Or Safek Mamzer?
But don't Gerim like get rid of the Mamzerus?
No. What I'm saying is, each party in this marriage, you're either a ger or you're a mamzer, a mamzeris.
Yeah.
So convert, and now you're not sure. You're either a ger kosher or you're a Yisrael mamzeris, mamzer. So what's the problem with them marrying now each other? There shouldn't be. Because if a ger and an eved are mutter and a mamzeris, there should be no problem. So what would the problem be according to Rabbi Elazar? So Tosus rejects this, but the Ramban and the Ritva and the Rashba, it's all the Ramban, I'm sure, it's starting with him or earlier than him, but he's the first one I saw, state that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yehuda, particularly because if you look in the Mishnah on Ayin Dalid, where Rabbi Elazar is quoted, who was quoted before Rabbi Elazar? Look in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Oser. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, probably of Geras and Mamzeres. So Rabbi Elazar is commenting further when he talks about Dam Vadan and Vadan Misveikan, he's working within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That Nakuda is crucial for understanding the continuation, even though the Gemara ultimately rejects that as being the form of Rabbi Elazar. If you say that, then the rest of the Gemara can be more easily understood. For Tosfos, is not willing to accept that possibility. Tosfos says, what do you mean? He doesn't even deign to entertain the possibility. He just says it. Geres mutter b'mamzeres. Tosfos says, the concern is, since Yisraelim got mixed into them, we are afraid that actually, in some cases, Yisraelim might have married Yisraelos in that community and then had children, and down the line, the children are Yisraelim Gemurim, and yet, many of the some of the Kutim are Mamzerim. Now, if the only Chashash by Kutim would be that they were Goyim, so there's a simple solution. What do? Convert them. But if some of them, the fear is that they already intermarried with Jews and the offspring were Mamzerim, you can't be Mitara Mamzer. And therefore, Kuti lo Yisa Kutis, according to Tosfos, because some might be Yisraelim Gemurim, and some will be Mamzerim. And because of that, Safe Kuti lo Yisa Kutis. That's the way Tosfos is sort of forced to stand on his head and explain it. Yeah.
How could any of them be Yisraelim Gemurim? Aren't they either Gerim, where there's a guarantee
MS? So the answer is that Yisraelim and Yisraelos joined their community, married, and sometimes they intermarried, and sometimes they didn't. Mm-hmm. It's a stretch. It's undoubtedly a stretch. No question about that. So, excellent question, but the answer is that for the purposes at least of Ger B'Mamzeres, the Gemara states that Ad Shishtakei Hashem Gerusimenu. And therefore, if you have a community of people who are still called Kutim, they haven't lost their original shame, they remain Gerim for those purposes. And what the B'Mamzeres? One of the things that has left me, I haven't researched, is such a Gerus allowed to marry a Kohen or not? Because we say, we paskin the B'Dievet, a Ger Shinasa Gerus, that the daughter may marry a kahuna, may marry a kohen according to one of the Tanaim, and we paskin that way after the fact. We don't insist they get divorced. Right? So the question is, presumably the child of a ger and a geores was not nishtakei Hashem geores himenu. I would have thought not. Maybe I'm wrong. And if that's the case, you wind up with a very odd circumstance. We wind up with a circumstance of a geores, a woman who is a geores, who can marry a kohen and who can marry a mamzeres. See, normally we say a regular Gioris we paskin can marry Yisrael and can marry a Mamzer. But a Gioris to marry a Kohen and a Mamzer, that would be a unique circumstance. But that's what this would end up being. Because for the purposes of marrying a Mamzer or a Mamzeres, if lo nishtakei Hashem Gerusimenu, so we say he's still a Ger. But the question is, what's the din by Kahuna? And again, as I said, if a Ger Shinasa Gioris, if her daughter is Ksheira for the Kahuna, the way we paskin Ikar Hadin, so that you're telling me it was not nishtakei Hashem Geres Emana? I would say vada she has a shame Geres. We know she's her parents are Gerim, and still she's Mutter B'Kohen. What?
Is that definitely what nishtakei Hashem was means?
I think so. I think so. When you look at the expression, if Rashi says anything, no, he doesn't explain what exactly it means.
If you view it, and I know this is a bit of a stretch, freely acknowledge that. But if you say it, if you present it not as mishum like sul yichus, but like as a mishum chashak, that like we're choshesh that maybe like they'll go back to their like avodas kochavim because it's not presented as
okay. So but
Hashem, yishtaka Hashem, Hashem giris. It's presented as yishtaka Hashem avodas kochavim. So this is a stretch. I acknowledge that, but if you view it that way, then you could theoretically have someone who's like part of the community who's identified as Algerian and still maybe not have Shem Avodah Skochai.
You're just I understand what you're arguing, but firstly, Nishtake Hashem Oved, what's the expression?
Nishtake Hashem Oved Avodah Skochai.
One second, hold on. He says in the, I have to check his fayad here, and he says in the Fusim Yishanim it's Shem Avodah Zarah
V'Gius.
Right. So, in other words, if you say Gius though, right, Gentilehood. Okay, and my suspicion is that Ovei Kochavim is more often a censor's term for God.
Yes.
So, okay, but that is the crucial point to keep in mind in reading the continuation of the sugya. Now, that's point number one. Point number two, and this is a point, again, I can't give you all the Rishonim to look at. You're not going to have time to get through them. But there is basically two approaches to reading the continuation of the sugya. For the three Gimel Machlokos B'davar, it doesn't really affect our Mishnah in Ksubas. It doesn't affect who a Kuti is. It does affect whether or not Kuti may marry Kutis. That a Kuti may not marry a Bas Yisrael, that remains the same. When the Gemara says, Amar so-and-so, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuben Levi, that shalosh machlokos bedavar, the Ramban already points out, Rashi clearly doesn't hold this way. The Ramban is noted towards saying that these three shitos here do not all hold that kuti lo yisa kutis. They just all hold that a kuti is pasul bakahal. Only the Yesh Omrim, only Rabbi Eliezer, whom Rabbi Elazar happens to hold like, holds that kuti lo yisa kutis. But everybody else might theoretically hold that it's not a problem of kuti marry a kutis. Okay? Yes?
As long as we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva and we hold like Rabbi Shmuel and like Rabbi Yochanan, then there's no issue of mamzerus. It's just an issue of them being a ger.
Hold on. No, but that's what the Gemara introduces. Right, Rabbi Shmuel is the interesting case. Rabbi Akiva introduces Mamzerus through the Arusa bit of Yibam, and the Yesh Omrim introduces Mamzerus through a stam, Harovis of a Mamzerus somewhere up the line. So they in order to get the Mamzerus, they have to introduce it by another mechanism. In other words, the Gemara originally suggested for Rabbi Lazar, the small print, suggested Rabbi Lazar that you had Mamzerus mixed in because Eved V'Acham Abal Bas Yisrael V'la Mamzer. But the Gemara says he doesn't hold that way, so you can't say that's where it comes from. So instead we say it comes from Mamish, a Mamzer and Mamzerus being this Are somewhere up the line, and they're all this degree of Suffolk Mamzerus, at least that the Chachamim goes on. But you're correct. Once you do away with the Eved V'Acham Abal Bas Yisrael, you have to somehow inject Mamzerus in from a totally different angle. Zach? Rashi, if you look throughout the sugya, it seems to be trying to explain why kute leisa kutis according to all the shitos.
Really?
Yep.
How do you even do that? Because he said
it. Rabbi Akiva makes sense.
Rabbi Akiva, you have to hold a Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold a Rabbi Akiva.
No, you can still
say it. No.
You know that Rabbi Eliezer himself doesn't hold a Rabbi Akiva, but you don't know that Rabbi Eliezer, that someone who adopted it as a shita doesn't hold
a Rabbi Akiva. We're trying to answer Rabbi Elazar from the bright side.
No. All he doesn't hold of Rabbi Akiva is of Rabbi Akiva Shitan Eved Va'akum Habal Bas Yisrael. That's the only thing he doesn't hold of.
I don't know if he holds by
Mamzer by Lavim. No, I agree. He probably doesn't hold them by Mamzer by Lavim either. But that doesn't affect whether or not Kuti Lo Yisa Kutis. They both inject Mamzerus into, both the Yesh Omrim and Rabbi Akiva are injecting Safek Mamzerus into the Kutim, and therefore it's perfectly, you could argue that Kuti Lo Yisa Kutis. You don't have, there's an advantage to arguing why you want to minimize that to Rabbi Lazar Shita. The Ramban says that Rabbi Lazar is the only one we heard who said this, but there's another advantage to saying that a Kuti could marry a Kutis, which is the issue of you don't have to then branch off into holding like Rabbi Yehuda that Ger Aser B'Mamzeres.
But if Rabbi Akiva, if Rabbi Lazar doesn't hold like Rabbi
just with respect to one detail.
About mamzerus.
What creates mamzerus? So Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, and Rabbi Lazar, following that, introduces mamzerus via a different, the suffix of mamzerus into the kutim via a different route. Rabbi Akiva. They're not bekiyim. Well, they're either, there are two possibilities. Either they're not bekiyim in getting the kiddushin, or as part of that possibility is that a mamzer meachos or mamzer meshisach nisarvu bahen. That's all. Yes, but the machlokus with Rabbi Akiva is only how mamzerus got introduced. Rabbi Akiva said mamzerus was introduced because they had a funny sheet in Yibum, and for Rabbi Akiva, when you matir yavama lashok, even though it's only a lav, nonetheless, the child is a mamzer. So Rabbi Lazar probably doesn't hold of that particular kind of mamzerus. And therefore he says that the suffix mamzerus in kutim is a different suffix of mamzerus.
What do you mean by he holds like Rabbi Akiva? How his sheet could work with Rabbi Akiva?
He and Rabbi Akiva both hold that the reason why kutim are psul and bakahol is because there's a mamzerus somewhere in Urav amongst them. How did that mamzerus come about? That's a machlokas.
But he doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva now.
What's that?
He doesn't hold
them in a detail. According to Rabbi Akiva, why are kutim asurim? Because a suffix mamzerus, right? According to Rabbi Elazar, why are kutim asurim bakahal? And mizabizab, because of mamzerus. Now you'll ask me, how did the mamzerus, suffix mamzerus come about? So there, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar would have to disagree. Because Rabbi Akiva would say that it came about, or could say, it came about because of their Shita in Yibum, which creates Mamzerus through Isri Lavin. But since Rabbi Lasser doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva in that respect, in that particular issue, he must have a different way through which it got introduced. Namely, there was about Mamzerim, who were Nisari amongst them. Because they're not Beki and Beki, Kedushin or something like that.
Isn't that according to Rashi, all of the three Shitas in the Machlokas?
I think. I'm looking again now, but I think that's how Rabbi, I think there are hints. It's not Hafeirish and Rashi, that's the way he would say, that across the board. The Ramban will quote two possibilities. He prefers the possibility that only the Yishom, Rabbi Lazar, hold that Kuti lo Yisa Kutis. You'll see the benefit of that in a moment.
What about Rabbi Akiva?
Also, he wants to say that Kuti can marry a Kutis. But who are they marrying? So there are two angles here. Number one, in the case, well, it could either be Gerim, but let's assume for the moment we're not saying Gerim. Let's assume who was chaperoning me about the Oved Kochavim Shlain. Let's say that they are Jewish. So number one, the din is that Suffolk Moms there is Mutar Bakahal. Meikar Hadin, that should have been the din. I'll explain that in a moment. I'll try to limit my Torah on that, but some of you probably heard this once. And even though in the Midrabanan they asked her to suffix mamzer marrying, nonetheless, in the case of Kuti and Kutis, they weren't gozer. Okay? So that would be the answer why Kuti could marry a Kutis. Rabbi Lazar is the only one who said that it's actually usher. A brief word on that issue. Did I say this in last year's line? I don't know if we came across it. Okay. There's a Gemara in the fourth parak in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Gimel, that states that a mamzer, suffix mamzer, is allowed to marry into the kahal. A suffix mamzer is also allowed to marry a mamzeris. Layavo mamzer bekal Hashem, mamzer vaday hu de layavo ha mamzer suffix yavo. And bekal Hashem, bekal vaday layavo avo bekal suffix, something like that. I forgot how it works. They darshan it from two parts of that pasuk. There's a famous sheet of the Rambam, and I think it's in Hilchos Tumas Meis or Sharva Satoma. It's in Perek Tes of one of those, I believe. The Rambam says that generally speaking, all the sveikos that he's spoken about were machmir, that chumra of sveika daraisa lachumra is midrabanan. The Rambam says that minat Torah sveika daraisa would have been lakula. So there's a problem, of course, because you know that if you violate a safek kares b'shogeg, you bring a karban asham talui. So the question is, if we asked the shayla, can I eat this piece of meat? You would tell me, yeah, mutter. Why? Because sveika daraisa lakula min haTorah. And yet I eat a piece of meat, and now you tell me what? Got to bring a karban now, because maybe you ate an isur daraisa, which is you did a chayiv karis if you did a b'mezid. So you bring a special karban called an asham talui until you find out whether or not you actually ate the piece of meat. At which point you either bring nothing or you bring a karban chatas. So So what's going on? So the Rambam already in a line that was inserted into the Rambam seems to answer that question. It says, with the exception of things on which you bring an Ashan Talay. But the problem is that if you look carefully at the Nusach of the Rambam, he mentions things being Safek, Sveka, Daraisa, Lekulam, and Atorah, things that have Karis in them. And therefore, that really can't be the answer. So the answer for the Rambam is something different. This is a little subtle, but when we say that if you eat a piece of meat that might be chaylev, that you bring a karban asham taloi, there's a machlokus in the Gemara whether or not that's true only if there were two pieces of meat in front of you, one of which vadai was chaylev and one of which was shuman, what's called ikva isura, and then you ate one of them, then everybody agrees you bring an asham taloi. But what if you have only one piece of meat in front of you and it's a safek on that piece of meat, whether it's a safek chaylev, safek shuman, where you don't have ikva isura, you don't have vadai isur present in front of you when with the late asa safek, when the safek happened? So that's a machlokus in the Gemara, and the Rambam paskins that you're only chayev to bring an asham taloi if you ate chaticha achas mishtei chatichas, when it was vadai ikva isura. So for the Rambam, what you would say is that the only time sveka the raisa lechumra is when it's ikva isura. But when you're dealing with something where there's no ikva isura, then minatora sveka the raisa would be lekula. They ask a kasha on the Rambam. It's found in the Chidushei HaRashba. It was a tshuva that the Rambam was asked, which we don't have anymore. The Rashba, in his Chidushim on Kiddushin, the fourth parak, asks the kasha on the Rambam and quotes the Rambam from the tshuva. The Rambam says, the question is, what was the question? I'll tell you the question is, what's the obvious question? What if Sveika Doraisa is Lekula Min HaTorah? So why do you need a pasuk to tell you that Safek Mamzer is allowed to marry to the Kohol and a Safek Mamzer can marry a Mamzeris? Sveika Doraisa Lekula. What do you need a pasuk for? So what did the Rambam answer in his tshuva? Anybody know? The Rambam answered, that's the makar. How do I know that? Sveik Reis Lekula. It's a binyan av from Safek Mamzer. It gets better. I'm sorry for the lamdanim here, even though it's a brilliant, brilliant sefer, the Shev Shmaitza. Okay, the Shev Shmaitza was written by Diktos, right? It's one of his three weeks far. Wonderful, wonderful. The first Shmaitza starts with this question. They all ask, why do you need a pasuk? He quotes even the Chidushim of the Rashba. But in irony of ironies, he must not have had the end of the Chidushei HaRashba and didn't have the tshuva of the Rambam either, which I believe we don't either. We don't have it in our tshuvas. And therefore, he didn't know what the answer the Rambam actually gave for Shita is. So you have brilliant, brilliant lumbus to explain why do you need a pasuk if, in fact, a sveka the raisa lekula. My favorite one being, I forget if it's his or he quotes from someone, that min haTorah, safek mamzer would be mutar b'mamzeres or be mutar b'kahal, but if he were practicing bigamy, he would not be allowed to be married at the same time to a mamzeres and to a bas yisrael ksher. Okay? Because it would be a stir minei obey. Comes along the pasuk and tells you that the gzeres hakasav is that even when it's a stira, he can be married to two of them. There's some other brilliant, brilliant teirutzim, but on a certain level, they were all wrong by definition, because the Rambam told us what the answer was. You could develop a new shita, you could have no idea, but nobody other than the Rambam ever said that Sveika Daraisa was Lekula Min HaTorah. Because, what?
What did the Rambam know?
What did the Rambam know, right? So anyway, so the bottom line is, Min HaTorah, though, so we assume that Sveika Daraisa, Safek Mamzer. What other Rishonim would say, Sveika Daraisa is Lechumra Min HaTorah, but Mamzer is an exception, is Exeris HaKasuf. So it's Xerim in the Rabbanon. Now, it's even the Rambam Paskins, a Safek Mamzer is Aser in a Mamzeres, despite the Gemara, that sheet in the Gemara, because it says, Mid Rabbanon is Xerim, probably based upon this. So anyway, so the bottom line is that Safek Mamzer is only Aser Mid Rabbanon, which means by Kuti and Kutis, the Chachamim could have chosen, that's what the Ramban says, they weren't Gozer in that case. Yes?
So most Rishonim would hold Safek Daraisa Lechumra, but the Mamzer is an exception.
Yes.
Min HaTorah. Now that the Rabbanan made this Gemara is overturned.
Correct. In a certain sense, you might argue that the Rambam makes more sense in that regard, because when they made Xerah the Rabbanan on Sveika Daraisa, that it should be Lechumra, they included even the Ur text, right, the original Makar. Whereas for the other Rishonim, you have to explain, if really Sveika Daraisa is Lechumra, in fact, if you want to be a little pilpalistic here, it's Akira Stavra Min HaTorah, you know, Beferish, right? And the whole purpose of the Xeris HaKasav was to be mater by a Mamzer and Mamzeres, and the Rabbanon, you know, said, nope, in this case we're not going to allow it. You know, so, anyway, but that's what they would have to say. They'd have to say that it's always Asa Min HaTorah, and here it's Asa Min HaRabbanon. Yes. Believe it or not. Okay. So now coming to our sugya. So we have shalosh machlokas. With that in mind, let's try to see if we can construct something rational for shalosh machlokas medavar. Again, we have to understand 2 points. We have to understand why a kuti can't marry into a kahal, and maybe, depending whether you hold like I think Rashi holds, or you hold like the Ramban's preferred side, or you could just say the two deyos in the Ramban. Do all three shitos here hold kuti leisa kutis, or is it only the yeshomer? But Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel both hold that a kuti can marry kutis; they just can't marry into the kahal. So you have to be able to explain both. Studen. No, it's for Rabbi Akiva, for Rabbi Ishmael, and then for the Yishomim. So let's give it a shot, okay? Who would like to read for me? Mr. Nadel, yes. I'm sorry, I've solved most of your problems already. I've let you off the hook, right? Go ahead. Not totally.
I'm starting from...
So start with Elakiasa Ravin.
Right.
So let's explain this. Firstly, what does it mean to have Kohanim Sulim? Yichsin purposes. This part is still not totally clear in my head. What difference would it make whether Kohanim Kshirim, Kohanim Sulim? What's that?
The facilitating the gear.
Correct. In other words, they might be halalim, but that's the worst case scenario. But halalim are kshirim b'kahal. They are kshirim b'kahal. They just can't marry a halal, but can't marry a kohen. So Rabbi Yishmael holds they are not Jewish. And incidentally, in answer to this question, you remember the question we discussed extensively yesterday is what do you do with the theory between this and Yevamos? The Ritva here just suggests, as another possibility, suggests that Ritva, I think it says. That Rabbi Yishmael disagrees. It's a machlokas between those two machlokas asugyos. And Rabbi Yishmael holds that gerirayos aren't gerim, right? And when we say the kutam gerirayos, it means Rabbi Yishmael shita. It means you hold that gerirayos are not argoyim. And the Gemara Yevamos argues on that. So they're basically this. What's the problem with kutim and kutios? You would say that they're basically safek whether they're goyim or not. The kohanim who married into them are psulim. We would not say that there's a chashash mamzerus here, but we would say that they're not allowed to marry into the kahal because they might be goyim. Okay, that would work. Now, why would a kuti not be allowed to marry a kutis? Because if kohanim psulim mixed in them, it means that some of them might be Jewish, and therefore kuti. Lo yisa kutis. Yes.
How could any of them be Jewish if you hold that?
Eved va'achim ababas Yisrael havlad. Well,
meaning if the kiddushin are tofsin, then aren't the children automatically then mamzerim?
No, if they aren't tofsin, no. So we're going to assume Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara Beferish said in the small part, that Rabbi Yishmael does not hold like Rabbi Akiva that eved va'achim ababas Yisrael havlad mamzer. He holds kasher, and we're going to assume kasher means for the moment Yisrael kasher. So in which case. If he held that it wasn't Jewish, then vaday they're goyim, they're all goyim, and they should be able to marry each other. Yeah. So instead, there's a safek goy, safek Jew. Mati.
So then, when it says that means without any conversion.
Correct. That's what it would have to mean if you're going to read it this way. Yes. And that would be Rabbi Yishmael's shita. The truth is, does it really matter? Kohanim kshirim kohanim psulim. I'm not so sure. There is another sheet here. Continue beating a dead horse. The Tosfos Rid here says no. Psulim means mamzerim, and then you get introduced all sorts of fun things because now you understand why maybe kuti lo yisa kutis because maybe one of them is Jewish properly and one of them is mamzer. You could do all sorts of things with that. But for now, we'll just explain it this way. Yes, Stein.
You're keeping the if you're not explaining it along with the Rashi, explaining it with the Ramban.
Right.
And you can just say that the reason we talk about the Kohanim is that the status of the Kohanim is a reflection of how eligible these people are married. The Kohanim still married them, but in other words, like the come back to the Kohanim Shinis Me'ubahim became Kohanim Suim.
No, the Kohanim who were Nitmubahim were Kohanim Suim in the first place.
Were Kohanim Suim in the first place.
That's what it means.
Okay, so
because Rabbi Akiva says ksherim, they weren't hochsheru by marrying to the kutim.
No,
they were ksherim to start with.
Okay.
Is that
I think
does it? Okay, sprung.
Maybe I went like way over reading this. I thought maybe Rabbi Shmuel could hold. I guess like that opinion is also that these are the kind of ger Rabbi would keep with the avodah zara, and the reason Kohanim Suim married into them is so that they could then have these like power and bamod as part of like a class, and that's why they're there.
Okay. I don't think that's what the Gemara is talking about. I don't think so. Then you have look. I don't think that's all what they're thinking about. Okay. Next. Go ahead.
Rabbi Akiva Savar, Kutim Gerei Aventa. The Kohanim Shinis Mubad, Kohanim Ksheri Mayer. Okay. Shemar Beyasalamik Satam, Kohane Bamot, Vamar Abba Marathana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mina Bechirim Shemaam.
Okay, so Rabba Bar, so what does that drasha come from? So I mentioned this to a few of you in Seder. I didn't see. There's a note on the side, in the margin here. I suggested to you that how do they get the best people amongst the nations? I point out there's a Rashi in Chumash. Vayihi amkim misalnim rab osnei Hashem vayishma Hashem vayicharapo vativarbam esh Hashem vatochal biktsei hamachane. So I'll make my plug now. There's a mitzvah to do shnei mikravecha targum. It's the only specific form of Talmud Torah that the Shulchan Aruch actually prescribes. And if you do shnei mikravecha targum in Parshas Palosa, you will see shitas Rashi. Rashi quotes there from the Medrash, probably the Sifrei. What does vatochal biktsei hamachane mean? Those were the Nesim, who were Chayiv Misa, because Vayiru Eis Elohei Yisrael, and Vayochlu Vayishtu. Right? That at Maimon Har Sinai, the Zekanim and Nadav and Avihu were Nistaklu, and they didn't have appropriate COVID Rosh, and therefore death was decreed upon them, but God didn't want to spoil the events of Matan Torah, so he delayed their death. So Nadav and Avihu died in Yom Haruk Asa Mishkan, and the Zekanim died here in Taveirah. And how do you get that? Vatocha b'ktzeh ha-machane kitzinim sheba'am. Katzin is like a sar, is a prince. So it could be miktzosam here is being read in the same lashon of kitzinim. I just noticed, and I go to Fitzyunim, he says svar machenim, not ha-bechirim, but ha-kitzinim. So I don't know if that's primary or secondary, but if it's secondary, somebody else beat me to the punch in thinking of that same connection, that same reading. Fine. So if that's the case, the Ella, Rabbi Akiva, we should be one big happy family with the Kutim, right? They were proper gamers. The Kohanim got mixed in it. There's no Hashash Psol Yichus. So why not? So the answer is it boils down to a question of whether or not you read hachutza as an adjective in a funny way, or you read it as an adverb. If you read it as lo siyeh eishes hameis, if you read lo siyeh eishes hachutza, the outside wife, meaning the wife who's not in the house yet, meaning because she only had erusin, didn't have nisuin yet, nisuin means entering the husband's house. So then, they darshan that woman, the arusa, is not allowed to marry outside. She can't. She has to have yibum achalitza, which we do agree. We agree that an arusa requires yibum achalitza. But based upon that, they assume that if she's nesua, if she's not hachutza, if she's an internal wife, no yibum achalitza. Which, by the way, does that make any sense to you? Does that shita make any sense to you whatsoever?
No.
Conceptually. Sometimes you can darshan something, but you come up with something that's on the surface absolutely absurd. What? No, but is there any logic to it? There is logic to it, by the way.
He had a chance to have a child.
Yeah, but he didn't. The whole point is, velo uvein ein lo. Right. In other words, who cares that he had the chance to do it? There's something else, Mati.
He did.
it seems like the violation of Eishes Ach is less than.
Excellent. Maybe they're thinking that you have Chazal say that Erbas Eishes Achicha Lo Segalei and Yivama Yavo Aleha like Shama Vezachar B'dibur Echad Nemru. And they are trying to resolve the steer by saying, wait, the Torah says, how do you do with Yivam Aleha? The answer is an Arusa, because she's not really his wife. She's not called Eishes Achicha. In other words, it's not absolutely absurd. One can understand the logic to it. And what are we passing? When we hold there's an Erva besides Eishes Ach involved in a Yibam situation, what is the din?
You don't do Yibam
or Chalitza. You're totally Pater. Right, we paskin, if a man's brother's wife is also his wife's sister, for example, let's say two brothers marry two sisters. If one brother dies without children, there's no yibam or chalitza with the other wife because the erva of Eishes Ach was hutra by the Torah, but the any other erva was not hutra by the Torah. Those who did Yivamos, remember. 2 years ago, Yivamos, right? No, 3 years ago. Oh, wow, 3 years ago. Okay, you weren't here, you can refer a day, right? Okay, so anyway, so that din, that's a din by Yibam, so maybe they thought that it didn't make sense that even Eishes Ach was Hotran. This is a way of avoiding having, you know, Zachar Hashem or B'di Rechon Emer with regards to this issue. It's possible. But anyway, I'd be curious if anybody's interested, Sam, in doing the research. I'm curious if the Samaritans actually do have such a Shita. It wouldn't shock me.
I can find out in November.
What's that?
I can find out in November. I'm going to meet these, like, fines bringing in
them. Oh, okay. Okay.
It's his class, I'm sure.
I'm sure if you go online also, you may can find it. Halachas of the Samaritans, yes. Yaakov?
Nowadays, it would definitely be mafid about it because there are only like four families of Samaritans, so they really are very, very mafid about genetics. Like every marriage among Samaritans, because they don't marry out, has to go through geneticists. Like, it's a communal, it's like a taboo. Like, you don't marry without going to geneticists.
I see, okay, so.
They also marry the ones who are
Why would that affect the Arusa Nesua is not an issue of genetic relationship, it's just how far you got. There's no genetics in Eishes Ach per se. They had to promise anyone you marry. It's a little, you know, like the South, they say, but yeah. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva says there's a problem of Mamzerus. How does he get to Mamzerus? So firstly, what is the Isser of Yavama Lashuk? Firstly, what do the words mean? Firstly, what is the word chutza mean? What does the word chutz mean? It can mean outside, and it also, there's another way meaning of the word chutz. What are chutzos Yerushalayim? The shuke Yerushalayim. The streets. So that's, Yavama Lashuk is an Aramaism. It's a translation of hachutza. Okay, it's the other reading. We say outside. They're related to each other semantically. So the issue of Yavama Lashuk means a Yavama marrying not the brother without having chalitza. That's what the term means. The Torah says Lo Sia Eishes Hameis Achutza Lishzar. Is there what's the penalty for doing so? Malkus Arbaim. There's no kares stated by it. Okay, what happens if she goes ahead and has kiddushim with someone? Now, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, which you know the Gemara is about to say, Kiddushin Arantosin, he's going to say the Vlad is a Mamzer. However, if you hold not like Rabbi Akiva, there's a Machlokis, Rav and Shmuel, and Yavamos in the 10th Perek. One of them says that Kiddushin are Vadai not Tosin. The other one says it's a Safek of Kiddushin Arantosin. And both are working not with the Rabbi Akiva Shita. They're working with the Shita of the Chachamim, that Chayve Lav and Kiddushin are normally Tosin. But what there might have been a reading, lo siya eishes hameis achutz lizar, lo siya means lo teheba havaya. There is no tisas kiddushin by Yavama Lashuk. I don't know if they say, if the end result of that, they would say it's a mamzer. I don't think they say that. But whether kiddushin or tofsin is a suffix, some element of suffix by Yavama Lashuk. So, but Rabbi Akiva, it doesn't matter, because Rabbi Akiva, it's a lav, and Rabbi Akiva holds, and the kiddushin are in tofsin, and Rabbi Akiva therefore holds the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Tamei Dovi. So that's Shita number two. So why does Rabbi Akiva say we're not allowed to marry a Samaritan?
Because they're
Mamzerim. Safek Mamzerim. And there's no Takana. Converting them won't help because they're Jewish already. And if they're Jewish already, there might be Mamzerim, so we're not allowed to marry them. Ah, Safek Mamzer is Mota Benatora. Yes, Mota Benatora, but also Midrabanon. And the question also would be whether they're Safek Mamzer or whether the Ruban are Mamzerim. Yes.
You're going like Ramban that a kuti that this could still be saying that a kuti can marry kutis. Would you say that that sort of that the fact that they posken in a certain way, as opposed to just like them not being careful and allowing Mamzerim in the community, would you say that like creates like a new category of like people who are in the way are sectarian in terms of family and therefore can't marry into the rest of Israel?
I don't think so. You could have asked no. The only relevance theoretically would have been if they had a different shita and it were a valid shita, if we don't paskin like it, does following a valid shita mean the children aren't mamzer? What I mean by that is mamzerus is the product of avera. If you have a married woman and you take the semen of a man who is Jewish and not her husband, and you inseminate her with it, you inseminate her, the child is not a mamzer. The Rav Moshe is a famous tshuva about this. We know this because of a bizarre medrash in the Alpha Beta de Ben Sira. Benny, do you remember this? Where's Benny? I can't put my glasses on. You don't remember this. The Alpha Beta de Ben Sira says that Yirmiyahu, that Ben Sira was the son of Yirmiyahu's daughter, who became pregnant from her father, Bambacha. He had gone to the bathhouse, had a seminal emission. If you really want to know a somewhat disturbing story, go look it up.
Is that a tongue-in-cheek story or is it an actual story?
It's alphabet of the Ben Sira. Make what you wish of it, but the Rishonim quoted, and therefore it has become part of the Halacha canon, in the following sense. That Ben Sira was the child, he had an emission in Bambacha. She bathed after and became pregnant from that. And Ben Sira is not a mamzer. What's that? I know. I realize that insemination in that fashion is virtually impossible for the purposes of halacha. It's discussed, by the way, it's brought up in Hilchos Nida. It comes up in Hilchos Nida. On the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it, but the Taz or the Shach quotes it from one of the Rishonim. Maybe it starts with a Rokeach, I think, about a woman shouldn't sleep on the sheets. An Ashes Ish on the sheets of another man, but it's not a problem if she, when she's Anita, sleeping on the sheets that her husband slept on, because it's not that big a deal, right? In other words, it's Ben Anita, it's nothing. But even by another man, the concern is not Mamzeris, the concern is not knowing who the father is. But the point is, again, forgetting, I know that it's actually impossible, but the point is that the alphabet of the Ben Sira, and why anybody gives this Medrash credit, I don't know, God knows what this Medrash is. I read almost all of this in the IRBC class last year. So the alphabet of the Ben Sira assumes that the child's not a mamzer, just their chagav, and the Rishonim accept that. So it's the Masa Avera which generates mamzerus, and therefore one could have asked the question, what if one is holding of a halachically legitimate shita, but according to the other shita, it would make the child a mamzer? Could we say, child's not a mamzer because it's not a Masa Avera, because you're following a legitimate shita? I think, by the way, if you learn the Mishnayos in the first parak in Yevamos, and the Tosefta there especially, the Pashtus is, there is such a shita. That's not how the Bavli Nian reads it. It's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on this very issue, that in the small print, that even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued about the Tzaros, if you have a situation, two brothers married two sisters, and one of the brothers is married to not only his brother's wife's sister, but also to another woman totally unrelated. He dies. So I already told you, there's no Yibum or Chalitza for the Erva, for the woman, for the wife he has, who is his brother's wife's sister. What about for the other woman, who's totally unrelated, the Tzara? So Beis Hillel said, if one of the wives is an Erva, all of the wives are Asuros and Yibum and Chalitza, and they all go free without Yibum and Chalitza, and it's in a Daraisa to Yibum and Chalitza, because to do Yibum in that case is Eishes Ach Shalob Malko Mitzvah. Okay, if you got that scenario, what's called Tzaras Erva. Beis Shammai said, no, you just cross the Erva off the flowchart, and then you can do Yibam on the Tzaras. In that situation, according to Beis Shammai, if you miyabim the Tzaras HaErva, according to Beis Hillel, it's an Isser Kares of Eishasach, Shalom B'Malko Mitzvah, because Beis Hillel says there's no mitzvah. And if there's no mitzvah, there's no heter to do it. So according to Beis Hillel, the Benos Tzaras of Beis Shammai, in the Yibam cases, should be Mamzerim. So the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Yevamos, after recording the Machlokas, Beis Shammai still says, even though these are Osrin and these are Matirin, lo limnu Beis Shammai l'minisa nashim Beis Hillel v'lo Beis Hillel mi Beis Shammai. So I understand why Beis Shammai would marry the women of Beis Hillel, even though they held they were Yevamos Lashuk. I'm sorry if you don't get this all. You have to look up the Mishnah to see it. According to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel was allowing women to go free without Yibum or Chalitza, who needed Chalitza or Yibum, the Tzaras Erva. But that's so, that doesn't create mamzerus the way we paskin. So we understand why Beis Shammai could marry the woman of Beis Hillel. But why could Beis Hillel marry the woman, the Nashim of Beis Shammai? Because maybe they were mamzerus.
The fact that it wouldn't render mamzerus doesn't mean that it's...
It's absolutely kosher. It's also to do it. But the children are 100% kosher. Maybe not lekahuna, but nothing worse than that. There's no what... If you are thinking about dating a young woman, you're not a Kohen, and you have a young woman whose mother never received Yibum Chalitza when she was supposed to receive that, there is no issue whatsoever in dating and marrying that young woman if you're Yisrael. None whatsoever.
So
and vice versa. Because Rabbi Akiva holds their mamzerim. Because it's all, we say they're not mamzerim because we paskin against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva held they were mamzerim. So, but in that case, Beis Shammai was the mekel there in this regard. Beis Shammai could marry Hillelite women because they weren't mamzerim. But Beis Hillel could marry Beis Shammai women. But the Mishnah says they married each other. So the Bavli says, yeah, they let each other know if there was a problem. Right? Okay, you could say that, but you read the Tosef, that doesn't necessarily sound like that. So I thought that, I'm sorry for that long arichos, Shlayan, but the answer you could have said, not, we wouldn't say this for the Kutim, that if you rely upon a halachic legitimate shita, we would say that the Vlad is not a mamzer. I don't think Poskim say that way. It's just the
How far back were you calling halachically legitimate?
That's I don't want to answer that question now. In the time of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai is now rejected, but once upon a time, maybe. I didn't want to get into that question. You're asking me sort of a more meta halachic question of what is a legit. What, you're asking me the pluralism question. Forget it. It's irrelevant because we assume that we don't. What I said is a pupula ba'alma. It's not lalacha. La halacha, if there's no physical masavera, the child cannot be a mamzer or mamzeris. But if there is a masavera, even if it's shogeg, if you rely upon another shita, we would still be assume that it could potentially be. If we don't paskin that way, we clearly don't paskin that way, then the child would be mamzer or mamzeris. 1, 2, and 3, yes.
I mean, first of all,
agreed. That's why I said it's not. It's clear here.
But
we're not going to withdraw. Even if what I said, even if it were correct, okay. Note the contrapositive.
Like fundamentally different. This seems like a fundamentally different reason for the kusim for within Rabbi Akiva shita that doesn't Rabbi Eliezer shita. Rabbi Eliezer shita is just like
we haven't gotten to Rabbi Eliezer yet.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
People weren't expert. Right. But here it's people are like the shita doing things that are
right. That should have made it worse, better, and worse. It means they're more likely to be well.
I'm thinking it should have made it like.
Makes him more understand.
Anyway, what I'm saying in terms of marrying within themselves, you might say that like you're no
Rabbi Akiva Shita is Rabbi Akiva. Well, also in addition, Rabbi Akiva Shita means they're likely to be more mamzerim.
Right, more likely to be more mamzerim, and it's sort of you can talk about it as a communal something, not as an individual.
Correct.
Something.
Agreed.
To marry a kusi with a kusi.
So that would point to the Ramban's preferred option. In other words, kuti yisa kutis, just not into the kahal. There were two questions here before you, Daniel. Sam had one. Oh, there you go. See? And not that it makes it legitimate, it just means that it's the law of scribes. Well, you know, two people can come up with the same exegesis. Yes?
Why would people in Beit Hillel not be able to marry people in Beit Shammai if they're only Suffolk? Suffolk moms are going to marry Kahal.
Because Midrash Rabbanan, it's certainly us, sir. And what about in cases you knew? In other words, so the Gebavli says that Hodiu, Zazah, they would let each other know. But the simple reading of the Mishnah doesn't suggest that, and some things in the Tosefta sound kipshutan like also not like that. But whatever, it's not beferish in the Tosefta. Yes, then.
But we're presuming in this situation that they have their own drasha, so therefore they're breaking from Chazal at that point. But once Chazal says kuti lo yisa kuti, then they're going to start listening. They're aware that the way they're holding halachic
leaders
is not.
You're asking, that question could be asked in a larger sense. Kuti lo yisa kutis, like, even in the times of Chazal, I don't think the Samaritans were asking in Mishailas. That's really the question you're asking. Listen, there are. I have received many Shilas, but I've never received a Shila from a Ben Noach yet. But there are Bnei Noach who ask Shilas. I don't know how many of them there are, but I'm told. Such things exist.
You haven't heard anything about Samaritan rest of Shiloh before?
Sorry?
You said Ben Noach. Then you've been asked by Samaritans.
Don't make the yukim, okay?
We're assuming even before there was an...
But if he did ask me a Shiloh, I would call him the Good Samaritan. Yes. Okay.
We're assuming that even before there was an Esrlava Bakal for Kutim, they were, generally speaking, remaining segregated?
They were. That's the whole point. But in, you know, just as... Now the Karaim are segregated, but at some point they still married amongst Rabbinites. So the Kutim probably were a separate group, and at some point they should came up, Chazal said, Aser.
Okay.
Okay, just a little bit further. V'yesh
omrim.
Okay, and what the bottom line in the Gemara, we'll read it very quickly tomorrow. What is the bottom line in the Gemara? What is the result that Ein Bekiyim B'Dikdukei Mitzvos mean?
That they're not on point with mitzvahs regarding Gerushin and Kiddushin, but all the mitzvahs is...
Well, forget the all the mitzvahs, and therefore what? What's the relevance there?
There's an issue with Mamzerim.
There's an issue with Mamzerim, and then there's a different version, which might be an Eved B'Shifcha Nisar V'Mehem. In which case, so if it's a question of Mamzerim, so then you would say that there's a suffix of Mamzerus, and you might take a step further. Again, why are they Asur and Lavo Zebizeh? For Rabbi Lazar, you have to say it. Why are they Asur and Lavo Zebizeh? So the simple answer would be is that if they were Geirei Emes, and they were Kohanim Kesherim, but a Mamzer was Nesari, were afraid of a Kasher marrying a Mamzeris, or a Kasher marrying a Mamzer. So that's with regard, that is one sheet. And the other sheet that we'll say again, because let me say it this way. It is possible that there are actually three sheetos within the Yesh Omrim. One is that they're not Bekiyim begin the Kiddushin, and therefore we're just afraid of abstract, the Mamzeris floating around. Second sheet is that we know that a Mamzer was mixed in. That's Rav Nachman Bar Amar Rabba Bar Avua. And the third sheet is that an Eved V'Shifcha, that was Rava, got mixed in. Right? The only difference, by the way, between these sheetos is what? Is that the first two sheetos there's no solution for. If it's a Mamzer, a Mamzeris got mixed in, there's nothing you can do to fix the problem, even internally, because some of them are Jewish and some of them are Mamzer. But if an Eved and a Shifcha were in Sarva Bahem, what's the solution to the problem? Let everybody free each other from their avdus and shifchus, and they're all either ksherim or meshachorim. So it shouldn't be a problem.
So
but
you can relieve yourself of mamzerus if your father or mother, so to speak, is free.
There would be no mamzerus. The point is that if the concern is that an evan and a shifcha got mixed into the kutim at some point, it means everyone in the community is one of two things. They're one of three things. They're either the product of two ksherim, or they're the product of an Eved and a Kshera, in which case they're Kasher, because we pass an Eved v'achma baba shalavad Kasher. Or they're the product of Eved, of a Shifcha, who married a Kasher. Or for that matter, Shifcha married an Eved, in which case they're an Eved, or a Shifcha. But the solution to that is simple. If you're not sure about an Eved or a Shifcha, what do? In that case, you free them. And you remove all questions of Yuchsin. Now we know that from the first mission of Chagiga. Now if you owe me people, tomorrow they start. First Mishnah Chagiga, the whole discussion is about a Chetzio Eved and Chetzio, but not in the Mishnah Beferish, but in the Gemara, Chetzio Eved and Chetzio Ben Chorin. What do we do with a Chetzio Eved and Chetzio Ben Chorin who cannot marry anyone because he's half slave, half free? What do? We free the rest of him. We write an IOU for half his value and free the rest of him. So that would be ultimately the answer for the third Deah here, but the first one or two Deos, again, I don't know whether Ein Bekiyim and Begin Mekidushin is the same thing as the last two shitas, or it's a third independent shita, but at least the second shita would be Saveh Mamzerus, and there might be Sherim in them as well, because they were Gevin Emes originally, and therefore you're afraid of a Kasher marrying a Mamzer. Yes.
Moshe. Do they know who their masters are? Is Abadim? Because, like, how do they free themselves?
So, you can get into the Sugya and Kiddushin. We do have a solution to the problem in theory. It would be a communal solution. They would all get together and everybody would write a get shechor to all avadim that he owes. Or something, you know. It would be a rather time-consuming process, but aside from that, it may be that an eved it might be in the getter of eved shefkira rabba. Some shittos hold that you don't need to get shechor there. In other words, if an eved becomes hefker, in this case because no one is his owner, it might be you don't need to get shechor. You're asking me a technical problem. But we could have the great gathering of the Samaritans, so they could all write Gita Shichur. It would be very cumbersome and expensive.
The Eved Shichur probably didn't come from them themselves, no? Maybe it could be a Yisrael
but at this
also.
Except
would
that...
need every Jew everywhere to write a Shichur?
No, because at this point there's already probably... You could get one person, one Jew could seize them. Probably you get one Jew to seize all of them. Because it's the Yerush already, probably. Right? It's probably like an Aveda with Yerush. I don't know. Normally, there's no. On Karka, there's no Aveda because a Karka, you know, is always there. But, and even there, you might have actually Yerush. There is such a thing. Tosis and Sukkah has. But if it's Rava, then probably you could have one Jew, Mikon, them all, Misafek. act as Bialim and write a get shechar for them. That would solve the problem. But I don't need to go down this road. This is just that's for Pilpula Ba'alma. All right, we will stop here, and tomorrow we finish this. We finish Kuti. I'm done with Kuti tomorrow. Make sure you do that Tosos in Ksubas on our first Amud very, very well. And then it's time to move on.